Back to order.
We're in the process of questioning Chief Prosecutor Dan Hickey. We're at the Senate portion of the questioning. Senator Victor Fisher.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I have several questions here. I'm trying to, as I think several others, trying to put the meetings and the content of the meetings in perspective and try to relate the schedule of the meetings to what the governor has said in his previous testimony. Could you say once more who was present at the Sunday, April 21, 10 a.m. meeting, which I gather started was basically to brief the governor on the North Slope boroughs issue, and then went into several other matters, including the Fairbanks lease. Who was present that day?
First of all, it's a correct characterization of the purpose of the meeting, Senator. I was present, Governor Sheffield was present, and former Attorney General Norman Gorsuch was present.
Nobody else was there during any part of the meeting?
Not while I was present. And near the end of that meeting, the governor indicated he had something else he wanted to take up with Attorney General, former Attorney General Gorsuch. I left, and Mr. Gorsuch remained for, as I recall, another 10 or 15 minutes because he asked me to wait for him.
During your discussion of the Fairbanks lease matter, you and the governor and the former attorney general were all three present.
That's correct, Senator.
Okay. On April 23, the briefing of the governor, at what time of day was that?
I recall it as mid-morning, somewhere between 9:30 and 10:30 when we got in to see the governor.
And you said that that meeting lasted 45 to 60 minutes.
Yes.
Who was present at that meeting?
Same three individuals.
Same three. Did anyone enter or were any of you gone at any time during that meeting?
No.
Okay. Unfortunately, we didn't have the transcript of the testimony, yesterday's testimony before us. As we watch the tapes, I've had a chance to just briefly review the transcripts, and you don't have a copy of it. Mr. Chairman, could the witness be provided with a copy, please? If you would turn to page 1666, and I believe that here the questions are being asked by Senator Halford, and the answers are by the governor. Now, starting with line 5, there's reference to the question starts off on line 5. You said that I think you met with Norm Gorsuch and Dan Hickey, and they explained that there was a grand jury about to be impaneled or had been impaneled to investigate the Fairbanks case. And then there's some background. Then this is pursued, and we saw that on tape, and I will not repeat the matter in their questions and answers. Then at the top of page 1667 is the question, you did not know at the time that John Shively was target of the grand jury. Answer, not at that time, no. Not at the meeting the day before the grand jury. Now, what was the day before the grand jury?
April
23rd. So we fixed this as the April 22 meeting, is that correct? So if this was not the day before the grand jury.
I would fix that as the April 23rd meeting, Senator.
The grand jury was 24th.
Yes.
All right. I'm still trying to clarify this. On page 1727, we on line 22 have question, and this is by Mr. Dabb. Governor, you were asked a question about Mr. Hickey and Attorney General briefing you.
What page is it?
1727, line 22. And again, this is referring to the impaneling, referring to recollection of the briefing. And again, I'll move ahead to top of page 1728, where it reads, and I think your recollection was it was a general briefing, just what the grand jury was going to do, why they wanted the grand jury to look into this. Is it your recollection that Mr. Hickey did not actually give you the details of the evidence, for instance, the details that Mr. Shively was a target and that they had evidence that he had used pressure to change the RFP? Answer, Governor. Mr. Dash, I don't think they gave me any of the details at all. I don't think I really understood the details until my statement was taken, I think, the next day. The statement was taken on what day?
The statement was taken the previous evening, April 22nd. The governor testified before the grand jury the day after the grand jury started on Thursday, April 25th.
So when he refers to, I don't think I really understood the details until my statement was taken. Would you assume that that is his Monday 22 statement that he gave to you and the investigator?
Not necessarily. I would more likely assume that he's referring to his first testimony on Thursday, the 25th, before the grand jury.
The reference to statement being taken until now, as I understand, has always been to the statement to the investigators, whereas grand jury is referred to as testimony, is it not?
I've heard witnesses, I think, in these proceedings refer in both ways to testifying before the grand jury, giving their statement to the grand jury, but yes, that's correct.
Okay, then, on line 16, let's go to the question, line 13. Mr. Hickey has informed us that he did give you the details. Is it your testimony that you don't recall that, or that he may be wrong? Well, I'm not saying that he's wrong. I don't recall, Mr. Dash, all of the conversation. They weren't there very long, so they couldn't have told me much. Now, what did you say? How long did the Sunday morning briefing last?
Overall. The entire meeting. I think I was in there 45 minutes.
45 minutes. How much of that time was devoted to the Fairbanks lease?
85 minutes.
And you previously testified that the briefing in the 22nd lasted 45 to 60 minutes.
The 23rd. And that briefing, lasted 45 to 60 minutes.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I have not had a chance to review the earlier exchange with Senator Josephson. I hope to, this has clarified to some extent some of the confusion, exasperated others, but I may want to ask some more questions later.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Halford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With regard to the three meetings, for the meetings that are now being portrayed as meetings on this subject. The first meeting was a meeting on the North Slope Borough with questions on the governor's mansion and the mention of this investigation, but no real discussion, simply the statement that we'd like to take a statement and we'll talk to you later because it's something worth talking about.
Well, there is a question from the governor directed to me as to what I could tell him in substance about that matter, what was going on with it, what did it involve, as I recall. And my response to him was that this, meaning that day, was not an appropriate time to do that, that we needed to first take a statement from him.
Did you tell the governor that there was a grand jury?
No.
you didn't tell him anything about a grand jury or anything about the investigation?
No.
And the meeting on Monday was basically a statement that was simply all recorded, so everything that's in it is in the recorded statement. It's probably one of the statements we have in all this stuff.
Well, it is a statement that you have before you. I've seen it referred to at various points during the televised portion of the proceedings. The only thing that might not be on that statement is the initial series of introductions. Probably Mr. Guarnelli and Sergeant Johnston, although no, Sergeant Johnston I know has met the governor before. I'm not sure Mr. Guarnelli ever has. I recall introducing them to the governor and some talk about where to put the tape, the microphone for the tape recorder on his desk. That would not be on the tape. But other than that, and saying goodbye when the statement was over, everything that was discussed of any substance is on that tape.
So the only meeting that grand jury was mentioned that could be characterized as being on the subject of the Fairbanks lease was the meeting on the 23rd in the morning.
Characterized as on the subject of the Fairbanks lease, the,
well, I mean,
the purpose of the meeting.
The subject and the purpose of
yes.
the meeting.
Yes.
Okay. One of the statements that I had a hard time understanding was when the governor responded that he didn't know that there was anything wrong with the Fifth Avenue lease. When you did have that briefing on the 23rd, you did go through the details of the Fifth Avenue lease, and you did explain that there was something wrong with the Fifth Avenue lease, did you not?
We explained in some considerable substance that there was evidence that we have had pulled together as a result of statements taken from a number of individuals by that time and a review of the available documents that suggested that a number of irregularities had occurred in the lease procurement the procurement process that led to the lease, and that the focus of the inquiry was on the conduct of Mr. Scheiber and his role in affecting that process, in particular in changing the specifications as to the geographical area.
Another statement that I found somewhat incredible was that there was a question as to whether Mr. Shively had been, I think I used the word target of the grand jury, and you stated that that specifically was a major portion of the discussion.
Well, I don't recall, and I don't think that I used with the governor the term target.
Target.
Okay. But very clearly used the term focus or a term like focus. I recall using focus. Most likely subject, that the purpose of convening the grand jury was to conduct a further, more complete investigation into Mr. Shively's role in that process.
I think in response to Senator Josephson's question or my question, Senator Bennett's question, the governor stated that it was, when he was briefed and told about the grand jury, that it wasn't terribly significant to you. What do you remember as happening the rest of that day?
Well, as what I recall about the rest of that day is that the Attorney General later informed me that he had gotten a call, I believe directly from the governor, who had told us when we were at the end of this meeting on the morning of the 23rd that he would be meeting with Mr. Shively and discussing with him what his status was going to be. That in any event, sometime between the time of that meeting and the noon hour, I recall the Attorney General calling me, telling me that he had gotten a call, as I recall, from the governor, where the governor asked him if he would be willing to be with him when he met with Mr. Shively. And if I recall correctly, the Attorney General was asking my opinion as to whether or not that would be appropriate, given the meeting we had just had with the governor. And my recollection is that I told the Attorney General that I thought that was an appropriate request on the governor's part. There was no reason why he shouldn't feel that he could participate in that meeting, but that I didn't think it would be appropriate for any of the details at that point in time to be disclosed to Mr. Shively as to the facts that the Attorney General was aware of or the facts that the governor was aware of. My understanding is that is that the Attorney General and the Governor, excuse me, and Mr. Shively went somewhere in a car over the noon hour. I've since become aware that it was out the road, involved McDonald's. I don't think I knew that, and it wasn't important to me that day. I recall Mr. Gorsuch calling me after he got back to the office to tell me that meeting had taken place. They had driven somewhere for lunch, is what I recall about it, and that a decision had been made that Mr. Shively was going to resign. The next thing I recall hearing, I think from Mr. Lawrence, was that, although it's possible that it was also from the Attorney General, was that some further meeting was occurring in the late afternoon in the governor's office on this subject, that the Attorney General had been asked to participate. He didn't feel comfortable participating any further in those discussions as to how they were going to handle this, what they were going to do about it. That meeting in the late afternoon involved a number of different people. I recall the governor's name being mentioned, Lori Herman's name being mentioned. I don't think Mr. Shively. I don't think Mr. Shively was intended to be present at that meeting, as I recall. Emil Nadi, John Greeley, the governor's press secretary. I believe Molly McCammon, the governor's deputy press secretary. Mr. Lawrence then became involved at some point around that time in this process as to what position should the governor's office take in response to this information the governor had been given, with the grand jury starting the next morning. And I remember, for example, I remember Molly being involved because I remember Ron telling me at one point that when he was down there and responding to some questions, that Molly had been crying and everyone was very upset that John was going to be leaving. And as I recall, they were still talking resignation. That meeting, as I understood it, was adjourned until later that evening, until Mr. Conway could get down from Anchorage. And Mr. Lawrenson was to assist in preparing, based on the general outline of what was happening with the investigation and the fact that a grand jury was convening, a draft of a press release for the governor to consider at that evening meeting then. And I recall getting a call, I think from John Greeley or Lori Herman, wanting to know how to get a hold of Ron once they knew about when the meeting was going to be, so they would make sure that he was in the office. And as I recall, I called Ron, told him they wanted to meet sometime in a 9:30 to 10 o'clock kind of time frame that night, and he came back in, came over to my office with sort of a first draft of this press release, showed it to me. I made a couple of suggestions for language changes in it. I seem to recall that he retyped it himself there in my office. And then the Attorney General showed up in my office. He had been out somewhere to dinner. And Ron left, went to the meeting in the governor's office. And I think when he was done, he called me, and that was a good hour and a half or so later. And the press release had been finalized and changed a little bit in terms of how a couple of things were characterized. The major change being that Mr. Shively was going to be stepping down for a period of annual leave rather than resigning. I also recall Ron telling me that I remember him telling me some of the people who were at the meeting. They were some of the same people I described in the afternoon. The governor, Mr. Shively, was not there. I recall that. Ms. Herman, John Greeley, Mr. Conway, who by that time apparently was in from Anchorage. I'm not sure whether Emil Nadi was also at that particular meeting. I think he was. Bob Miller, the governor's new director of communications at that time, was on the speakerphone. Ashley Reed, and I recall Ron telling me that Mr. Reed had proposed that the press release be changed to indicate that the grand jury was being convened at the governor's direction, and that there was discussion about that, and Mr. Miller, in essence, advised against them doing that because it wasn't accurate, that a decision had already been made, the grand jury had been notified and had been called in for the following morning. That the way they intended to deal with this was to have a press conference at approximately the same time the grand jury started, and to simply make an announcement to the effect that that the governor's office had been advised by the Department of Law that this matter had reached a point where, in the judgment of the Department of Law, it was necessary to present the matter to a grand jury, that in substance the matter drew in question the role of the governor's office in the lease process, and that during the pendency of the investigation, Mr. Shively was going to be going on annual leave. That's what I recall about the rest of that day.
And that, just to make sure, that was the meeting, which was the first time that the topic of a grand jury came up.
Yes, sir.
Because the question that I asked was, met with Norm Gorsuch and Dan Hickey, and they explained that there was a grand jury impaneled or about to be impaneled. And I think the governor said they had already impaneled the grand jury. So the grand jury question was there. And at that meeting, he explained the entire case. And yet, I think the governor told us yesterday it wasn't significant.
Is that a question, Senator Huffman?
The Rules Committee will stand in recess for a brief moment. I'm going to break into the order of business at this point and ask the Chief Counsel of the Senate to give the Senate a presentation as to exactly what it is we're doing here and what we're looking for. Mr. Dash.
Mr. Chairman, the purpose of this testimony before the committee is to review specific answers by the governor yesterday to questions concerning his knowledge of the briefing that he received by Mr. Hickey and Attorney General Gorsuch at a certain time as to the evidence that was going to be presented to the grand jury. Senator Halford, Senator Bennett, Senator Josephson, and I presented certain questions to the governor, and his replies have been seen by the committee on the TV screen, and you now have the transcripts. I think the replies indicated that there were no details as to the evidence, that he was not advised as to Mr. Shively's involvement, or that Mr. Shively was a target, was the question. Ms. Lacovera.
No, I just wanted to be recognized when the Chief Counsel was finished, Mr. Chairman.
Yes. And that he didn't believe that at that time there was any wrongdoing, and that his understanding was that Mr. Hickey was informing him that the information just had to go into the grand jury. The testimony of Mr. Hickey goes to the question of whether Mr. Hickey's testimony as to his recollection contradicts the testimony of the governor, whether there are significant differences in what occurred in accordance with what Mr. Hickey's testimony is as to that briefing, and the governor's statement to this committee. In addition to Mr. Hickey, the committee will hear the Attorney General, former Attorney General Gorsuch, who also attended the briefing session, who will also testify as to his recollection. And the question before the committee is whether his recollection as to what information was given to the governor significantly contradicts the testimony under oath by the governor before this committee. It's the purpose of this proceeding to raise the question as to whether the governor's testimony before this committee was a candid statement to the committee of what occurred during his own testimony, that he was briefed by the former Attorney General and Mr. Hickey in light of the testimony we're now presenting as to what Mr. Hickey and the Attorney General will tell us. They, in fact, said to the governor at that time.
Thank you, Mr. Dash. Mr. Lacovara.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think what this proceeding is coming down to, or will come down to, apart from the question of characterization, is whether the testimony that was elicited from the governor last night related to the first meeting that Mr. Hickey has testified about. I believe, as the questions are presented to Mr. Hickey and other witnesses, if one accepts the governor's characterization as that first discussion with Mr. Hickey and Mr. Gorsuch on Sunday morning as the first meeting or briefing on this subject, all of the testimony is in complete alignment. What we are getting, of course, is a characterization that that the first briefing, in somebody's judgment, wasn't until Tuesday, but I think the questions last night were, when was the first time you discussed this matter? I think it will become clear that the governor's public statements, as well as the testimony that he will give, will be in line with what Mr. Hickey, Mr. Gorsuch, and others will testify about the substance of subsequent meetings following the Sunday morning 10 a.m. meeting. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. McAvara.
Chairman.
The Rules Committee will stand in recess for 10 minutes.
Chairman.
You've got a witness. The Sergeant-at-Arms, would you find the witness, please?
Questions asked to the governor during his interview by the grand jury? I don't think so. And is the thrust now relative to the possible perjury before this committee?
The motion was broad enough, the senator, to include possible perjury in sworn statements either into this committee or the grand jury.
But the thrust the now is not the grand jury testimony.
The thrust is still being developed, I think, Senator.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Justice.
I can only answer that by saying that I think, and he can speak for himself, that counsel's theory that if the governor was not truthful to us, probative of not being truthful to the...
Yeah. That is, in part, Mr. Chairman, the relevance of this, and it's part the relevance that the testimony of the governor before this committee was directed at the issues before the grand jury. He was asked questions about his testimony in the grand jury. This committee should consider, and I'm not making any recommendations or suggesting what the conclusion is, but this committee must consider whether, if the governor did not tell the truth as to any answer in a question before this committee, whether or not, therefore, other answers by the governor with regard to the information concerning the grand jury report, what he remembered, for instance, of the October 2 meeting, it becomes relevant. And this committee must consider the credibility of the governor. And any time there is an issue as whether that credibility is in question, it goes to all of the testimony of the governor.
Thank you, Mr. Dash. We'll continue that consideration. Senator Josephson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me preface my comments, Mr. Hickey, by saying that if I ask questions that I haven't asked you before, please bear with me. I understand a career and reputation, political history of Alaska may hinge on your answers.
Of course, Senator.
Let me take you to April 20th. That was a Saturday, I understand. Did you see the governor on that day?
No, I did not.
Did you see him on Sunday, April 21? Did you see him on April 22?
Yes.
A Monday?
Yes.
And it was on that day that the unsworn statement was taken, correct?
That's correct, Senator.
And as of that day, sir, what was the status of the grand jury impaneling? That is, had the grand jury been impaneled or had a decision been made impaneling grand jury?
My recollection, Senator, is that when I was still in Anchorage the previous Friday, which would have been the 19th, that I had made a tentative decision at that time that in all probability, from what we had, that this matter was going to have to be presented to a grand jury. I checked with our district attorney's office here as to the availability and status of the grand jury, discovered that one had been, a new grand jury had been paneled, I believe that previous week, had heard one case. It was, as I recall, that Monday, the 22nd, after Lori Herman's statement was taken, which was taken early that morning by Mr. Grinnelli and Sergeant Johnston, that a final decision was made and arrangements were made for the grand jury to come in on Wednesday the 24th.
Well, benefit of all of us, I think we may need to cover some ground here. Are you saying that in Juneau there was sitting on another criminal matter or calendar of criminal matters a Superior Court grand jury?
The regular grand jury that had been newly impaneled within a week or so of the time we're talking about, yes.
When the matter of the Fairbanks lease et al. Came to a grand jury, did it come to that grand jury?
Yes, it did.
All right.
Perhaps I could explain. After that grand jury considered this matter for some 2 to 3 weeks, it was excused from hearing further cases by the presiding judge who had convened it, and a second or a new regular grand jury was convened to hear other cases.
And then, did you see the governor on April 23rd, Tuesday?
Yes, I did.
That was what you have referred to here as a briefing when you spent the 45 to 60 minutes with him and with Attorney General Gorsuch, is that?
That's correct.
Now, did you discuss any of the subject matter of the Fairbanks investigation with the governor prior to taking his statement on April 22?
No, other than what I described on Sunday the 21st.
Would you tell me again what you recall telling him on Sunday, April 21st?
I recall telling him that there were things about that matter that I felt he needed to know about, that it would not be appropriate to go into them at that time, and that before we were able to do that, in my judgment, it was necessary to take a taped statement from him.
I ask that, Mr. Hickey, because in the statement of Governor Sheffield, unsworn, dated April 22, you are, in the unproofed version, quoted as follows on page 1. Governor, just to give you a little bit of very short background information as to why we've asked to take a short statement from you. As a no, I think that means as you know, a series of questions have arisen concerning the consolidated Fairbanks State Office lease matter that involves a process that went through ending this past January over a fairly substantial period of time. A number of questions arose from materials contained in the files by the Department of Administration that draw in question the circumstances under which that lease was entered into. I know that you are familiar with the fact that we've been looking into that we have interviewed a number of people both in state government and outside state government on that question. Now, I infer from that you are telling the governor, or governor, you have this much knowledge, at least this much knowledge about what the subject of the interrogation will be. Would I be fair in drawing that inference?
Yes, and the purpose of that was to put the matter in perspective for the governor, as was done with other witnesses, such as Mr. Shively, on April 8th when he was when he gave a statement, so that the initial questions would make some sense to him.
And therefore, and Senator Fisher read some of the governor's answers, in which he appears to relate the time of what he characterized as a briefing as a time prior to the statement. Do you recall that? I don't want to go through all that. But you recall his apparent references to being briefed before he made a statement
you
on April 22nd?
Yes.
Therefore, is there, taking into account the seriousness of this and the fact that a person's reputation honesty is at issue, and a government is at issue, and the dignity of the Senate is at issue, is there any compelling reason in your mind why we could not accept the governor's notion that, or why we could not infer, perhaps, that he regards the meeting of Sunday, April 21, when the subject was discussed as a, quote, briefing made before his statement, as he says in his testimony, instead of the meeting following his statement, which was on April 23.
That's certainly conceivable, Senator. Ultimately, I can't answer that question. I saw a portion of the governor's press conference this morning, and as I recall, he now remembers being told that Mr. Shively's conduct was very much the focus of this as part of that briefing.
And, of April 23.
And my recollection is that that was not made clear to the governor until April 23.
Fine. Well, does he... I don't understand the point you're trying to make.
Well, that the governor's recollection, as I understand it, from his statements, saying that he had been told at this time, as he now recalls, from refreshing his memory from whatever sources he used, he recalls being told during this briefing that is referred to in the testimony that you're referring to, that Mr. Shively's conduct was the focus of the investigation, and that took place on April 23rd. Am I being clear? Sometimes I'm not.
I guess we'll have to let the testimony speak for itself. Now, let me go to the other element, which is at page 1666 when Senator Halford questioned you. The question was, you said that I think you met with Norm Gorsuch and Dan Hickey, and they explained that there was a grand jury about to be impaneled or had been impaneled to investigate the Fairbanks case. Answer, as I recall, Senator, they told me that they had already impaneled the grand jury to start, like, tomorrow, whatever day that was. This is the governor saying that you and Mr. Gorsuch had told him that they had, that you had either already impaneled the grand jury or that you had already impaneled the grand jury. In fact, from your testimony here, that at least literally is true. There was a grand jury already impaneled in Juneau, which was impaneled the week before the meeting of Sunday, April 21, correct?
Well, that's correct, but it was scheduled first to come in on this matter, as I recall, on Monday the 22nd is when I made arrangements to have them brought in, in other words, to have them notified by the clerk's office, and for them to be in at 9:30 Wednesday morning.
As I recall, Senator, you said that they told me that they had already impaneled the grand jury to start, like, tomorrow, whatever day that was. Tomorrow would have been when, what day? Not Monday.
Would have been Wednesday the 24th.
So if the governor... if the governor is correct in saying that there was a discussion about tomorrow, that would not have been the Sunday question, but it would have been later in the week.
That's what I infer.
And then Mr. Senator Halford said, did they indicate to you where they felt that the evidence was leaning at that time, that there was a potential target of that investigation, or where they thought they might be going? Answer, no. The way I received it was that they felt that to clear the matter up, that there was some, they must have read something, and I haven't seen the files, but they must have read something in the files that caused them to think that they needed to have a grand jury impaneled to clear the matter up once and for all. I didn't really sense that there was that much wrong or that much urgency. It wasn't until quite a bit later that I found out that John Shively was made the target of the grand jury. And just to be clear about this, because as a lawyer, you know, sometimes it's hard to ask the question and listen to the answer at the same time. On Sunday, April 21, at that meeting or briefing, whatever you want to call it, Governor Sheffield was not told that John Shively was the target of a grand jury inquiry, right? And so, again, it is conceivable, is it not, that in these answers to Alfred, he is referring to the Sunday meeting where he was not advised that John Shively was the target of the grand jury.
Basis, it is conceivable.
I have no other questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Joseph. Senator Fakes? Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Ray?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have one question. Well, just one or two. Mr. Hickey, did you and Senator Halford and Mr. Dash meet last night?
Yes, we did, sir.
Where?
In my office.
For what purpose?
Well, let me give you the background on it.
Briefly?
I'll be as brief as I can. The original contact that Senator Halford and I had last night had nothing to do with this particular subject. It had to do with a procedural question that's associated with a memorandum that my office has prepared to respond, or in response to the memorandum regarding the grand jury report and the grand jury process that has been submitted to this committee by the governor's counsel.
Could I interrupt you? Did it have anything to do with this hearing?
Yes, it did.
Could you just zero in on that and forget the rest of it?
I'll do the best I can, Senator, but try to place my answer in context. That memorandum has been sent to the new Attorney General with a request by myself that it be submitted to this committee. He is considering whether that's appropriate. It appeared to me from the change in the schedule yesterday with matters scheduled as they were for today that the matter might go to the floor this afternoon, potentially. So I called Mr. Halford because the Attorney General had called me, asked me this question, how soon did we have to make a decision on this? And I called Senator Halford to inquire about where he saw that, whether or not it was likely to go to the floor, how much time was involved in terms of submitting our memorandum to this committee on that subject. During the course of that conversation, Senator Halford asked me if I saw any of the testimony that we've been discussing for the last 2 hours now. I said I had seen some of it. I had certainly seen Mr. Dash's question. I recalled seeing Senator Josephson's question. I recall him asking me whether or not I had at some point told the governor that Mr. Shively was a target or the focus of the investigation or in some way the subject matter of the investigation. And I said, yes, I did. And as I recall, he asked me when, told him. Then he also asked me whether at some point I had provided the governor with details concerning what we knew about the investigation at the time the grand jury was convened. And I responded as I have now. That was the end of the conversation that Mr. Halford and I had. Shortly thereafter, I got a call from Mr. Lawrenson. While I was still on that call with Mr. Lawrenson, Senator Halford showed up in my office. He asked several more questions. He left, and 15, 20 minutes later, came back with Professor Dash, who asked me many of the same questions.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Halford?
Just because that relates to for my interest point. When I asked the question yesterday, the reason I asked the question was I was trying to figure out the last contact that the governor had. I could understand not remembering an October meeting. I could understand not remembering a report by John Shylock. I could understand not remembering Lori Herman's statement. But I couldn't understand, right before the grand jury started, there being a major briefing in which the whole facts of the case were laid out, the only difference being that the focus of the case was on John Shively. And I couldn't understand some of the governor's responses in the grand jury in that light. That's why I asked the question yesterday. I still don't understand some of those responses on the basis of that briefing. But that's how this whole thing came up, and I started asking questions about that briefing to find out exactly what had been told the governor before he ever went to the grand jury and started testifying.
What time was it?
What time is it? Because
10
I
o'clock, 10:30?
No, it was more like 7:30, quarter to 8.
You didn't meet at 10 o'clock or 10:30?
I think people were still in my office at that time of night and later.
Pretty late to be talking about something that's going to come up in some time in next year's legislative session. I know you're a dedicated servant, and I want to commend you for being able to be there at that time of night to listen to that. Did you talk to Mr. Gorsuch last night or this morning?
I was present, yes.
Thank you.
Senator Bennett. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think if it might become necessary, I'd ask for an instant replay on the television. The governor's counsel mentioned a Sunday night meeting, or a Sunday meeting, and a Monday meeting, and a Tuesday meeting, but the germaneness doesn't apply to my question at all. My question didn't resolve which day. It was purely, Governor, the other day, Lori Herman testified before the committee that, in fact, she had set up a briefing between yourself and Dan Hickey a few days before the grand jury was impaneled. Do you recall that meeting? Yes. And then I won't bore you, because we all have
page 1650 and 1651, which is very specific. My question is, Mr. Hickey, you watched the TV thing, and I'm sure if you want an instant replay, I'm sure our chairman can provide that. What did you perceive from the governor's television monitor that you just watched?
I'm not certain how to answer that, Senator. I was surprised at the answer.
Senator Ferguson?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Regarding misstatements made by persons during their testimony, we have given Mr. Dash the opportunity to set the record straight. Regarding misstatements he has made during these proceedings and have never questioned his integrity, we should offer the same opportunity and credibility to those who testified before us. Mr. Hickey, what political party, if any, did you associate or affiliate with or subscribe to prior to coming to Alaska?
I have been a registered Democrat all my adult life, Senator Ferguson, since I first registered to vote when I was 18 years old.
Thank you. No further questions.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Abood?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Hickey, I'd like to take it back to the room again to set with former Attorney Norman Gorsuch, yourself, and Governor Sheffield at that particular briefing when you were telling them about the Fifth Avenue complex or talking about that particular deal and the impressions, rather, that you had that there was something that he should know about. That's the reason, one of the reasons you went there. I believe that's correct. Is that not?
Yes, sir. There was two things were going to happen. One, a major news article was going to come out where I had reason to believe, which I had reason to believe was going to include a considerable amount of factual detail that I also was in possession of by virtue of our investigation. And two, I was about to commence the presentation of evidence before a grand jury the next day.
Now then, was former Attorney Gorsuch, Attorney General Gorsuch, aware of your concerns? Was he in concert with you regarding these concerns, or was he in there with you as to be in attendance of the briefing of what I think I heard the North Slope problem?
He was present on Sunday the 21st, as was I, at the governor's request for the express purpose of discussing with the governor the status of the North Slope matter. He was present on Tuesday the 23rd through simply a consensus between he and I that we should both be present for purposes of briefing the governor. On the Fifth Avenue matter only. In terms of some of the details, it was, in my judgment, a briefing also for the Attorney General. There were some things that he heard me say that he himself had not been aware of. Although a lot of what I briefed the governor on, obviously the Attorney General was aware of from a day or so or several days previous.
But you felt the Attorney General at that time knew enough about what you were going to tell the governor and your concerns on the Fifth Avenue complex that the Attorney General was knowledgeable enough to understand that there was a problem there.
No question about it.
Now, as you walked in, where was the governor sitting?
The governor was behind his desk.
And you were sitting where?
I recall sitting on the governor's left, should be to the right side of this room.
And Mr. Gorsuch.
And Mr. Gorsuch, as I recall, was sitting facing the governor in the large chair to the governor's right at the back of the coffee table, which would be to my left as I sit here, in other words, in this room.
Now, would you say that the governor had your attention, or did you have his attention, Gorsuch's attention? Did he look very attentive at this, or was he shuffling some papers or doing something else?
Not shuffling.
He was looking directly at you, and do you feel that he understood what you were trying to say?
Yes, sir. There was one point where, as I indicated, I laid the three maps that had been sent to Mr. Shively by Mr. Stock on October 3rd, along with a copy of the handwritten note that accompanied those maps on the governor's desk in front of him. And I stood in front of the governor, leaned over his desk, and pointed out to him what that all meant, how that sequence worked, what the difference was in the boundaries, and how they related to the evidence that we had.
So it's your testimony, then, that you had his attention and he had an understanding of what you were talking about, do you feel he understood the gravity of the situation and the very reason that you were there, because it did affect his administration and could affect him or perhaps Mr. Shively at that time?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Just one other further statement, Mr. Chairman. I've known Senator Halford for many years. I served him in the House, and he does his best work after 5 o'clock at night. Thank you, Senator. Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pertula.
Mr. Chairman, my understanding is that you did essentially define the continuation of the scope to and narrowed it to the alleged perjury as may have come before this committee or as presented to the grand jury, so I feel the following question is extremely relevant. And it has bothered me for quite some time that the grand jury left us this responsibility, but so be it. And I have this one question. I read the transcript at least twice covering the recommendations to the grand jury, and am I in error at this time in the following analysis, and this is my own, that you yourself leaned in with recommending that the grand jury proceed to send out a true bill to go through the court system, and it was Mr. Frampton who seemed to have carried the day with his Watergate conspiratorial feeling and seemed to carry the day of the grand jury that we should essentially propose impeachment to the Senate. That's what I get out of that transcript. You could read it yourself, and I'm not sure if you weren't part of it that you wouldn't come to that same conclusion if you were me. Where do you come from? I know you're a competent attorney and certainly believe in and love the criminal justice system.
Yes, sir. That is a fair characterization or a fair reading of the transcript. It is not technically correct. There's no question Mr. Frampton expressed a preference and made a recommendation in favor of a report. Ultimately, I did not make a specific recommendation as between the two. I did, however, tell the grand jury that in my judgment and my experience that there was sufficient evidence to support an indictment, that while I couldn't tell them that a report would be inappropriate, that there ought to be very good reasons, and I think the way I put it in the transcript is pretty darn good reasons, for not returning a charge under circumstances where they conclude that the evidence meets the standard that we've laid out for them and we've asked them to apply.
So again, my interpretation, it was Mr. Frampton of the Watergate conspiracy period that essentially led the jury to this decision or assisted in it making it.
Well, I
can't, more than yourself.
I'm not going to say that. I will say what's factually there, Senator.
No, I heard
part of what you're asking me is to try and second guess what was in the minds of the jurors in their deliberations, and I just can't do that. I don't know. Mr. Frampton clearly expressed a preference and a recommendation for a report. I spoke stronger than Mr. Frampton in terms of the evidence available for indictment and my own judgment about the probability of conviction. I did not, however, as has been my practice over the years in dealing with and advising investigative grand juries, where we've presented both sides, in other words, whatever evidence we can find that is available, I did not make an ultimate recommendation. In my judgment, you should do this and not this. I didn't do that. And in the other cases that you're familiar with, if you look at those transcripts, you'll see that they were handled in the same way.
Yes, I saw that, and I remember it. So the case is you did not decide to be the judge and the jury and the punishment, but you intended to put it through the court system.
I never contemplated that these proceedings would be set in motion by virtue of the work of that grand jury until the very end when, on that final Saturday, I came in to the middle, if you'll see from the transcript, to their return where they were in the process of handing Mr. Frampton and Mr. Guarnelli a yellow sheet where they had rewritten the paragraph that referred in passing to the Article 2, Section 20 reference to the Constitution in the form of a request to communicate the report to the Senate, and had changed that and moved it up to page 2 with stronger language. I subsequently discovered that, earlier that morning, Mr. Frampton had made a stronger statement to them about their authority to do that.
Thank you very, very much. It's something that has bothered me for several weeks. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Farncamp.
Senator who?
Senator Farncamp.
Thank you. I'm sorry I didn't hear that. Mr. Chairman, during these proceedings, I think this question's come up that bothered me is, have you been meeting or have you had meetings during these proceedings with members of the Rules Committee or members of the Senate?
I've had, my office in particular, has had various contacts from members of the Senate, staff from members of the Senate, counsel for the Senate, deputy counsel for the Senate, counsel for the governor, and a number of the other attorneys that work under Mr. Conway, asking various questions at various times and requesting various copies of documents like, for example, the original draft of the report that was submitted to the grand jury. Today, counsel for the governor asked for a copy of this, May 23rd memorandum that Mr. Lacovara asked me about. People have asked from time to time where they can find something in the exhibits or in the transcript. Most of those contacts have been with Mr. Grinnelli in my office, who has fielded most of those.
I think rather than that, you know, I certainly expect the lawyers to be there and so forth. I'm trying to get at, have you met with members of the Rules Committee? I didn't ask about staff or lawyers. Members of the Rules Committee or members of this Senate during this procedure at time before you testified?
I met last night with Senator Halford, Senator Fakes, and Senator Bennett. I met at the very beginning of these proceedings with Senator Halford and Senator Fakes, and at their request called Chief Justice Rabinowitz that Saturday afternoon before Professor Dash was retained, as I recall, before he came to Juneau, and inquired as to the possibility on the Senate's behalf of making use of their office space while these proceedings were going on. Can't recall any other significant contacts with members of either the Rules Committee or other members of the Senate.
I take it your answer is yes.
I'm sorry?
I take it your answer is yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay. At the time of these meetings, did you have any idea that you would be called as a witness to this?
Well, as I understand, there's been some discussion back and forth for the better part of 10 days now as to whether or not...
like requests for your appearance.
Right. And I think that one or two of you or more have asked me in passing, well, what do I think about that? Is that a good idea? Is that a bad idea? Do I want to do that? And my response has been whatever the committee sees as appropriate, I'm happy to oblige. I'm happy to provide you with whatever information you'd like.
Mr. Hickey, at what point, or shall I say, the proceeding was well underway with the grand jury before the determination was made by you that it was not John Chiavelli that would be the object of these hearings, or grand jury hearings?
Well, not until Mr. Arsenal testified on May 7th any question raised as to the governor's own involvement in any way, much less what type of involvement in some of the process that involved the lease. That was the first time that arose. When you'll see from the transcript that there was an original summation and submission along with legal instructions and analysis made to the grand jury a week before the final submission, and an extensive deliberation where the only choice presented to the grand jury at that time was an official misconduct charge against Mr. Shively or a form of report. The grand jury determined that on the basis of the evidence they had before them, they preferred, for a number of reasons that they set out on the record in the transcript, to prefer the report and for us to obtain an immunity order and to seek Mr. Shively's testimony in order to pursue their investigation further. So to answer your question, I think it is at that point in time
when, through their expression of concern about who bore ultimate responsibility for the actions that were taken and described during the investigation and during the testimony before the grand jury, that they made a determination that they wanted to pursue the matter further. They wanted to hear Mr. Shively.
So there was never a briefing by you other than the 23rd of the governor as to, you know, you're going to be this, the object of this now. It was at that time, Shively?
I recall meeting with the governor on two further occasions after the 23rd. The first would be on the 25th. I met in the governor's office with the governor and his attorney, Mr. Conway, for approximately 15 minutes and described to the governor some 7 to 9 basic subject areas that the questions before the grand jury that I would ask him would be structured around. Before the governor's second appearance on June 12th, I had been in contact with Mr. Conway, first by telephone, then by letter, in terms of requesting the governor's appearance and describing to Mr. Conway what his legal status before the grand jury was. I met the Saturday, Mr. Frampton and myself both met the Saturday before June 12th with Mr. Conway, and then on June 12th, for about 20 minutes to half an hour before the governor testified, Mr. Frampton and myself met with the governor and Mr. Conway and went over basically the substance of what the concern was that necessitated the governor's return to testify further and described to him in much the same terms as the transcript reflects once we were in grand jury what the evidence was before the grand jury with respect to a meeting between himself, Mr. Arsenault, and John Shively on October 2, where Mr. Arsenault requested that these changes be made to the bid specifications.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Coghill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Hickey, I think that probably the public, the Senate Rules Committee is a little confused about some of these meetings, and I think that when we get into the October 2nd meeting and all of the sequence that happened there, which is basically the focal point of the grand jury, now we're at a focal point of this hearing of the series of meetings that happened right in the April 19th kind of series. And
yes, sir.
Just for the record, I'd like to just kind of run back through that. On Friday the 19th, you were in Anchorage, and that was the day that you decided, after reviewing all of the files, that it would go to a grand jury. And the grand jury was already impaneled.
The grand jury had been impaneled, but had not yet been scheduled in the sense of a date and a time set for them to come in so we could start the presentation of evidence.
Then, Mr. Hickey, when did you return to Juneau?
I recall returning that Friday evening on the late flight.
Then on Saturday, Lori Herman asked you if it was proper that she and you should go see the governor and brief the governor on the magnitude of the Fairbanks office. Is that correct?
No. She asked me whether she called me on the phone, asked me whether I felt it would be appropriate for the governor to meet with myself and former Attorney General Gorsuch about the status of the North Slope Borough investigation.
Not the Fairbanks office?
Not the Fairbanks.
Then Sunday the 21st, you did meet with the governor.
That's correct.
And you discussed, you reported the North Slope Borough, the mansion, and also in passing, the Fairbanks office building.
That's correct.
Was the Anchorage office building brought up at that time?
No, sir.
Now, then on Monday, the 22nd, was the first statement that you took, and that was with Trooper Johnston, yourself, the governor, and Dean.
Mr. Brunelli.
Ginnelli. And that was taken in the evening at 6 o'clock, and that was the only meeting that there's had at that time.
That's the only meeting I had with the governor on that day.
Then Tuesday, the 23rd, Attorney General Gorsuch, yourself, and the governor met for three quarters of an hour to an hour. And that was the time that you briefed the governor. That's the time that it was indicated that Shively was going to be the focal point, I believe you said, of the inquiry.
That's correct.
And that's when you laid out the maps on the table and you brought the governor completely up to date as to what was in the file that Stan Jones was questioning.
I put the maps on the governor's desk and explained to him how they worked, what they meant. I don't think it's fair to say that I brought the governor completely up to date in a sense of going through every detail. That would have taken three, 4 or more hours. But a substantial number of details, and those things in particular that involved Mr. Shively's conduct, were brought to Governor Sheffield's attention.
So this was basically the time that you and the Attorney General had met with the governor person to person, and this is when you brought the magnitude of the inquiry to his attention.
That's correct.
And was he concerned about it at that time?
He seemed concerned, but not to the point where I would say he was upset. He seemed concerned.
Then Wednesday, now the 24th, this is the sitting on the log meeting. This is when they went out to Off Bay.
No, my understanding is that after the Attorney General and I met with the governor on the morning of the 23rd, later that day, around noontime, he, the governor, the Attorney General, and Mr. Shively drove out to Off Bay and sat on the log, as I understand it, and stopped by McDonald's.
And this is the day that they had Mr. Conway coming down
later that night.
Yes. So that was on Tuesday the 23rd, not Wednesday the 24th.
That's right.
Did anything happen on the 24th then?
The governor held a press conference where he read the statement that was prepared the night before, and I commenced the presentation of evidence before the grand jury for that entire day.
On Wednesday. Then on Thursday, the 25th, the grand jury, he appeared before the grand jury, but prior to appearing before the grand jury, you and John Conway met with the governor and briefed the governor on the contents of what the inquiry was going to be, but not as to what his answers would be.
I briefed the governor. Mr. Conway did not. Mr. Conway sat and listened, as did the governor.
Okay. Then, as I understand the sequence of events, nothing else happened really as far as in the testimony of Shively and the rest of them, that they then did not talk about the content of the inquiry. And the next time was on the 12th of June that you contacted. Is that correct?
Well, the next contact that I had with the governor directly on this subject was June 12th, and it may have been the next contact period with the governor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Fakes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Hickey, one of my questions to the governor related the fact that the situation seemed so serious, and he had been briefed or supposedly briefed, and yet he didn't seem to take any action. It was kind of a cause and effect question, and I'm wondering if you will repeat again so I can understand it. What was the extent of the urgency that you conveyed to the governor in that briefing of Tuesday morning, the 24th?
Well, I think the two most critical things I probably said on that were that based on all of these things that I told you about what we know about this, the matter is going to have to be presented in its entirety to a grand jury, and that's going to have to play itself out wherever it goes. In terms of what the ultimate outcome of this investigation is, there was reference to, in particular, the official misconduct statute as a potentially applicable criminal statute in terms of Mr. Shively's conduct. There was also an expression on my part that, for whatever it was worth to the governor, my judgment was that this matter was sufficiently serious that how it got handled, given the public perception of other things with respect to investigations, for example, that how this matter got handled was serious enough that the election was potentially on the line.
Thank you. Senator Josephson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. like to call your attention to page 1650, the governor's testimony. And let me ask this, sir. How many of these meetings were set up by Lori Herman?
I'm not real clear on what her role was with the Sunday meeting, because as she told me on Saturday, I ultimately got a call several hours later from Mr. Gorsuch, who had been called directly then by the governor. So I think the sequence was that Ms. Herman checked with me as to how appropriate it would be, told the governor, I think, called Mr. Gorsuch, who then called me and said the governor wants to meet with us on Sunday.
Okay, excuse me, as to the Sunday meeting, that is the meeting as to which her role has come into this testimony, isn't it? In terms of she initiated the request to you, would it be appropriate, you talked to the Attorney General, and the meeting transpired.
I wouldn't characterize it as a request. She asked me a question that apparently the Attorney General had expressed some reservation about how appropriate that would be.
But that was, you had some contact with her about the meeting that did eventually come on Sunday morning. The main topic was the North Slope Borough question, right?
That's correct.
And you saw the governor again on Monday the 22nd when you took the statement. Did you contact Lori Herman to get that interview set up?
Yes.
And that was not a briefing, though. That was for a statement purpose, right?
No, and as I recall, it originally wasn't going to be possible because the governor had something else scheduled and had to be somewhere else at 7, and it looked like it was going to have to be the next morning, Tuesday, which was going to delay the briefing even further. And I recall then her calling back fairly late, like 5:30 or so, and saying, if you and your people can come over right at 6, and if you don't need more than about 50 minutes or so, then we can do it then. And I said, okay, we'll be there.
She knew that was, you wanted to take a statement at that time.
Oh, yes.
And then when you set the appointment up, you and Mr. Gorsuch, to brief the governor, I don't characterize these because they've already been characterized in various ways, but to describe to the governor about the status of the investigation, that would be for Tuesday the 23rd. How was that appointment made, if you know?
It may have been made after we finished the interview on the evening of the 22nd. I recall, for example, sticking my head in Mr. Shively's office, who was right across from the governor. Mr. Guarnelli and Sergeant Johnston had gone back, stuck my head in Mr. Shively's office. I said a couple things to him of sort of a personal nature about all this, and may have checked either with the governor's secretary or with Lori about the governor's availability the next morning. I remember saying something to the governor as we finished up the interview, I think, and it may even be reflected on the tape, I don't know. I haven't looked at that statement in a long time, about whenever we can fit it on your schedule tomorrow, I can now sit down with you and brief you.
Do you have any clear memory of asking Lori Herman to make an appointment?
23rd. No, I'm not certain whether that appointment was made right after we finished the interview or whether there was a series of phone calls back and forth in the morning to set it up.
Your clearest recollection of her involvement in setting a meeting would be for the meeting that transpired on Sunday, which came about because, at least in sequence, because she inquired whether it would be appropriate to have a briefing on the North Slope Borough.
Well, I have an equally clear recollection of the Monday interview. She definitely was also the one who called me at 5:30 or so and said that if you can do it at 6, the governor can do it.
Well, I asked that because at page 1650, Senator Bennett asked Governor Sheffield, quote, Governor, the other day, Lori Herman testified before the committee that, in fact, she had set up a briefing between yourself and Dan Hickey a few days before the grand jury was impaneled. Do you recall that meeting, sir? Answer, yes. That's the meeting that I referred to a little while ago when I was speaking to Senator Josephson. I think it was the meeting when Norman Gorsuch, the Attorney General, and Dan Hickey both came to my office to brief me. Now, I am gathering from that the governor is saying that when he answered the questions I posed, which had to do with what he knew and when he knew it, that he was referring to a briefing set up by Lori Herman, which I infer would not be the statement session of the 22nd or the follow-up meeting of the 23rd, but would be the time when she initiated the scheduling of the conference on the North Slope Borough. Would I be unreasonable, sir, in reading that?
No, it's not unreasonable, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Sherman.
Mr. Hickey, I've got one question. You indicated that the grand jury actually started up on Thursday, the 25th, for example.
No, it started Wednesday morning, the 24th.
24th?
Yes, that's right.
You mentioned earlier somewhere that you'd originally intended to begin it on Monday, the 22nd.
No. I scheduled it that Monday. As I recall, after the statement was taken first thing that morning from Ms. Herman, then a final decision was made to get the grand jury in, and we made arrangements with the clerk's office to have them in for Wednesday morning.
Okay, the day before the 22nd, the Sunday meeting that was originally the North Slope and then the mansion and then some reference to the Fairbanks lease situation, was the governor under the impression at that time that there was going to be a grand jury impaneled on the issue?
I can't think of any reason why he would be.
Senator DeVries.
Thank you. Senator Fehrenkamp asked the question that I wanted to ask, so I won't ask the question, but I did want to follow up on the last time that Senator Josephson was speaking, not this last time, but the time before, on page 1666, where the question is asked regarding, and the governor answers, as I recall, Senator, they told me that they had already impaneled the grand jury to start like tomorrow, whatever day that was, and we determined that was Wednesday, April 24th. Then I think Senator Josephson went on to infer that that next question and answer could have meant any of the other meetings, but then he didn't go on to say the question that's on the top, page 1667, which was, you didn't know at that time that John Shively was a target of the grand jury. No, not at that time. No, not at the meeting before the grand jury. And I think the record should show that that continues on, that all those questions, and I think the governor was very well aware of what meeting they were talking about. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Last question from Senator Halpern. Oh, second to the last. Senator?
I think Mr. Hickey has been asked by others if you saw any potential interpretation of Senator Josephson's questions which could have applied to another meeting, or Senator Bennett's questions which could have applied to another meeting. I don't know if it was asked about Senator Mr. Bash's questions applying to another meeting. But with regard to the exchange on page 1666. I'll read it one more time. The question is, you said that I think you met with Norm Gorsuch and Dan Hickey, and they explained that there was a grand jury about to be impaneled or had been impaneled to investigate the Fairbanks case. Grand jury, Fairbanks case, impaneled or about to be impaneled. As I recall, Senator, they told you that they had already impaneled the grand jury to start like tomorrow, whatever that day was. And then the rest of the questions were directly related to that meeting. Did they indicate? Answer no. It goes on. Is there any other meeting that that exchange could possibly apply to except the meeting of July 23rd?
Not in my judgment. April 23rd?
April 23rd.
Not in my judgment, sir.
Thank you.
Last question, Senator Victor Fisher.
Mr. Chairman. I might just say that I was tracking, I was basically tracking as Senator Halpern the confusion regarding the exchange on page 1650 regarding Lori Herman sort of undermined some of these things. I would like to review once more the exchange on page 1728 that Mr. Hickey and I had in the beginning. particularly about the language in response to Mr. Dash's question. I don't think they gave you any of the details at all. I don't think they really, I really understood the details until my statement was taken, I think the next day. Earlier, Mr. Hickey indicated, I believe that's correct, that statement could be interpreted to mean both the statement to the investigators and to the grand jury. Is that correct?
I think that it could go either way. Conceivably, a witness could be referring to either or both.
All right. Looking at this in context, what meeting occurred the next day after a statement was taken, if you follow? What meeting occurred the day, rather, what meeting occurred the day before a statement was taken?
The day before his unsworn tape statement.
Unsworn?
Is that the statement you're referring to?
No, what meeting occurred?
The meeting before. Sunday the 21st, principally on the North Slope Road.
Okay, so that if the statement the next day is correct, then this would refer to the meeting on Sunday the 22nd. If the statement the next day is correct. Okay, speaking of that meeting, you indicated before, I believe, that you spent 5 minutes on the Fairbanks matter. You also testified that at the Sunday briefing, no mention was made of a grand jury looking into this, or of your investigation. What was discussed with respect to the Fairbanks lease for 5 minutes?
The governor brought it up, asked about it, what was going on with it, what could we tell him about it. I explained to him first that there were things about it that he needed to know about, that second, it wasn't now was not the appropriate time. That third, we needed to take a statement from him. Then we talked a little bit about his schedule and about how he was going to be going to Bethel. When could we do it? And as I recall, the Attorney General injected something sort of reinforcing what I said about we need to take the statement first. And I'm sure you understand something to that effect.
And there was,
that was it.
There was no discussion at the time of what further steps, aside from his statement, might be taken. In other words, so far as your briefing the governor then was concerned, it sort of didn't indicate any follow-up at all. Okay, in effect, the only future element that you were pursuing was his statement.
Yes, and that in terms of his leaving town, we should try to fit both in. Time for his statement, followed by a briefing.
Okay, thank you. That's what I was looking for. I would like to now, Mr. Chairman, follow up on some questions of Senator Fahrenkamp's that I was going to pursue anyway. What was the charge to the grand jury when it was directed at the Fairbanks lease issue? In one sentence or one paragraph, what were the grand jurors told was the purpose of their inquiry?
At the outset?
At the outset.
Right. Well, that's set out in about the first 15 or 20 pages of the transcript.
I want in one paragraph.
Okay, in one paragraph that we have a matter that involves the workings of government, that we've investigated to a point where we believe that in order to take it further under our criminal justice system, we need their assistance. That it draws into question the conduct of government officials, that they were going to be sitting in their investigative capacity, that we had not prejudged the outcome of what their investigation would be. I had frankly no idea that there were the following possibly applicable statutes, but only the evidence would in the final analysis determine what might be applicable. And it's conceivable that at the end, that we'll conclude that nothing wrong was done. We'll conclude that a crime was committed. And one possibility that was just in passing referred to was the possibility of a report.
Thank you.
At what stage did it appear that an indictment, one or more indictments, might be justified? When were the first discussions with the grand jury of indictments? Let me specify.
The first discussions with the grand jury about the possibility of any indictment was in the time frame of June 19th, 20th, 21st, where all evidence had been completed except for Mr. Shively's testimony. And the first summary of evidence, the first set of legal instructions, and the first analysis was provided to the grand jury that's reflected in the transcript for those days. And the grand jury deliberated a good portion, at least of the background of those days, on what they wanted to do. I think that in my judgment, that point in the evidence when the possibility of a charge of official misconduct against Mr. Shively became a fairly strong reality was during Mr. Arsenault's testimony.
The initial discussion of indictment, therefore, was directed, insofar as it was discussed, at Mr. Shively.
Exclusively, with respect to Mr. Shively.
Who first raised the question before the grand jury as to whether the governor had told the truth when testifying before the grand jury under oath the second time?
My recollection is that one or more members of the grand jury themselves, as reflected in the transcript from that same time period, around June 20th, June 21st, when they came back and said that for a variety of different reasons, we don't feel that it's appropriate to pursue a charge against Mr. Shively and hold him solely responsible here. That's the first reference I recall on anyone's part to expressing a concern about whether or not the governor was fully candid in his testimony of June 12th, which was about a week earlier, with the grand jury.
Is perjury a crime under Alaska law?
Perjury is a Class B felony.
Class B felony. What's consideration given to an indictment for perjury?